Tonight's daf is daf Yud Aleph. We got to the very last line of Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Mipnei Ma Nemra Parshas Rotschim B'Lashon Aza. Why does it have a very strong Lashon in speaking it? What's the Lashon? It says Vayidaber. It says Vayidaber Shem El Yeshua Leimor. The Lashon of Dibor is always a Lashon Kasha. Lashon of Mir is always a more speech of Nachas. So why did it say, Vayidaber Hashem el Yeshua lemor, Daber b'nei Yisrael lemor, Tenu lachem es arei hamiklat asher dibarti aleichem. The word Daber is used several times in this passage. The pasuk when he tells Yeshua to start dividing the land in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. Why? Mipnei shehin shatara. Because Yeshua is being mekayim, the mitzvah of deraisa here. Says Rashi, two lines down on Yud Aleph, Mipnei shehin shatara. Aval shar amiros she'amar lo amar davar. From all the statements and the conversations we have recorded between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yeshua, this is the only one that was related to a din deraisa. That's why Lashon of Davar is used, because it's showing the severity and the urgency of this mitzvah. Mara says, the Maimer, is this to suggest that Dichol Dibor Lashon Kasha? Every time the word Dibor or Davar is used, does it really mean Lashon Kasha, a strong, aggressive type of speech? And Gemara says, yes, Dichsiv, as it says, Dabar Ha'ish Adonai Ha'aretz Itanu Kashos. Now, this is a pasuk that when the brothers came back from Mitzrayim, they didn't know it was Yosef HaTzadik just yet. They told Yaakov Avinu that the person, this individual, the master of the entire land, spoke to us very, very harshly. So Dabar, and this Lashon means Kasha, so to all other Vaidabers is Kasha. Gemara says v'hatane, but doesn't the Brisa say when it says nidabru? The pasuk says oz nidbaru, right? Pasuk in Malachi it says ein nidbaru el lashon nachas. V'cheinu omer soto it says yadbir amim tachtenu. So we see some examples that the shorish davar is benachas. We answer no davar l'chud yadbir l'chud. Two different lashons. Davar diber, that is a lashon kasha. Yadbir is a lashon nachas. Gemara now says simone rabbanan mahamini v'sifrei. Pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. There's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Chadamai Omer bipnei sheshihem, chadamai bipnei shehin sheltaro. So we said above, we asked the question, why was Vayidaber used? Why Lashon Kasher, Lashon Aza? So it's really machlokus amarayim. One thing's because he delayed it. Rashi explains here, if you look at the four lines down from the top, bipnei sheshihem, shelo hifrishim lachar shechalkum yad ad shenemar lo bipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, the first 14 years when they were at Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, they were busy conquering the land and dividing the land. And right afterwards, Yeshua should have then set up the Ari Miklat. He didn't. He delayed. So since he was delayed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to speak to him very harshly, say, why are you waiting so much? Now it's time to do Ari Miklat. And that's why. And the other opinion thinks, no, as we said above, because since they're Hein Shel Torah, he spoke harshly because of the severity of the mitzvah. Gemara now quotes a pasuk by Yichtav Yeshua es hadivarim ha'ela b'sefer Torah Elokim, and Yeshua wrote down these words in the sefer Torah. This is a pasuk that appears in Yeshua as well. So Gemara says this too is a machlokas. This is pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya. Chad amar shmona psukim is referring to the eight psukim that Yeshua wrote, the last eight psukim of the Torah, as Gemara in Bava Basra tells us. The chad amar ari miklat. Now he's referring to, he wrote down, he listed all the cities that were the ari miklat. So Bishma Laman Damar Ashmona Psukim, the one who holds that the eight psukim it's referring to here that he wrote down, Hainu Dechsiv B'Sefer Torah Selakim. He wrote the eight psukim that appear in the Torah. Laman Damar Ari Miklat, my B'Sefer Torah Selakim. What does it mean he wrote the Ari Miklat in the Sefer Torah? It doesn't say in the Sefer Torah, in a Chumash, the 48 cities. So Halchi Kamar. The way the pasuk should be read is Vayichtov Yeshua B'Sifro Es Hadvarim Ha'ela Aksum B'Sefer Torah Selakim. Yeshua wrote in his sefer called Sefer Yeshua the words, the dvarim that were mentioned in a chumash in the Sefer Torah, namely the Ari Miklat. But he didn't write the Ari Miklat in the Sefer Torah. He just took that mitzvah of the Ari Miklat from the Torah Selakim and had recorded it into his sefer Yeshua. Mor has yet another machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and a different Amor this time. Sefer Shetafru B'Pishan. In the Sefer Torah, the different department has to be sewed together. So normally they have to be sewed with the Gidin, with the different parts of the animal. But when it comes, they have a discussion here, can you use Pishan, which is flax, something that grows from the ground, can that be used to make thread to sew together the parchment of the Sefer Torah? So this is a Pligi Ba Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir this time. Chad Omer Kasher, Chad Omer Pasul, this is Machlokes, whether it works. Laman Damer Pasul, one who thinks it's Pasul, Tichsev Laman Tia Tars Hashem Beficha. That the Torah has to be something, has to be in your mouth. V'iskash kol haTorah kula l'tfilin. And the entire Torah is connected to tfilin. So now we have mat tefillah in the halacha, the Moshe Mitzrayim, the tofer and begidin. There's a certain masor we have that tefillin can only, you can only use and tie the different boxes together with gidin. So af kol the tofer and begidin. So to all other svarim, sefer Torah has to be written, it has to rather be sewed with gidin. Idach, the other opinion holds, no, ki iskish lemutter b'ficha, lochazov lo iskish. The only connection we have between Torah, by this pasuk, l'man tiyeh Torah Hashem b'ficha, is a pasuk in the context of tefillin. So in the context of tefillin, it says, l'man tiyeh Torah Hashem, the entire Torah is connected to tefillin. So they say, by that hekish is limited. We only connect tefillin and Torah with regards to mutter b'ficha, that the leather that's used, the parchment that's used, has to be something that's mutter, meaning a mutter animal, a kosher animal, is where we get the parchment from. And that's the only way we have, the only detail that's connecting tefillin and Torah. But regarding all other halachas, namely halach of gidin, and whatever you have to be tofer with, that is not learned through the hekesh, in which case, there's no reason to say pishon is possible for sefer Torah, and therefore we would allow pishon to be used for the sefer Torah. So Amar Rav said, Chazinin lehu l'tfilin debay chaviva. I saw the tefillin that was in the house of Chavivi. The tafri b'kisna, they use kisna's Aramaic for pishan. So we see we paskin that you're allowed to use pishan. But the Gemara says, v'les hil chasukavasa, even though that's what he observed, that's not how we necessarily paskin. And in fact, we don't paskin that way, that we should use sefer Torah, should be used with gidin, should be used to sew them together. New Mishnah tells us what? Tefillin. For tefillin? What did I say?
I said
Sefer Torah. Oh, it should be Sefer Torah here. There's a gear to change. Let's see. The Sifrei. The Hagos V'Tziunim on the Maigamar says it should be really Sifrei. They saw a Sifrei Torah, very good, that was written, that was sewed together with Gidin, and rather with Pishan, but you can't bring a riot from there. Gemara says, rather the Mishnah quotes, Echad Mishuach V'Shem HaMishcha, talking about different Kohanim Gedolim, that we know the halacha is that the Roteach goes to the Ari Miklat until the death of the Kohen Gadol. When the Kohen Gadol dies, he's free to go back home. So the Mishnah says, Echad Mishuach V'Shem HaMishcha, Echad HaMurim Begadim. There are two types of ways, the Gemara Numa tells us, and it's really a Mishnah here, that a Kohen Gadol can become a Kohen Gadol. One way is using Shemen HaMishcha, the special oil that Moshe Rabbeinu had put together in the Midbar and was carried through until the end of the Bais Rishon. That creates a Mishuach, Mishuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. So Kohen Gadol who was anointed, they used to place some oil on his head. That's the way he would become a Kohen Gadol. So whether he was anointed in that way, or the other way to become a Kohen Gadol is by wearing the 8 Begadim, a regular Kohen Hedyot, wears only 4 begadim. The Kohen Gadol has meruba begadim, he wears 8 begadim, so by him wearing the additional 4 begadim, that also makes him into a Kohen Gadol. So regardless of how he became a Kohen Gadol, the echad she'avar mimishichuso, or whether or not he was once a Kohen Gadol, but he lost his post because he became possible for whatever reason. So this too also, these three types of Kohanim Gadolim, machzir and eseretech, if they were to die, so they return, the retech is able to go back home. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Meshuach Mechama, Machzir Seretech. Even the special Kohen who's appointed to lead them in battle, he also, if he dies, he also is able to return and allow the Retech to return home. The Fikach, therefore, Emoseim Shekohanim Misapkos Lehen Michye Uksus. So the mothers of the Kohanim were very scared. They didn't want that the Retzchim Davin, that the Kohen Gadol die. So they therefore wanted to appease the Rotschim, and they fed them, and they gave them clothing. Kadesh lo yispalu al b'neim sheyamusu. This way the Rotschim have some mercy, and they don't daven that the Kohen Gadol dies. Mar asks, Menahani Mila, how do you know this to be the case? That any Kohen Gadol would work to return the Roteach? So Amar Rav Kana, Damar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'yoshev ba ad Mosa Kohen Gadol. So they sit there until the death of the Kohen Gadol. And Ksiv, there's yet another pasuk that says that the ki ba'ir miklato yashav ad mos Kohen Gadol. That's a second pasuk. And Ksiv, there's yet a third pasuk va'acharei mos Kohen Gadol. So three different pasukim to tell me the three different Kohanim Gadolim: Mishuach b'shem Hamishcha, Merubah Megadim, and Sha'avar Mishichusa. Rabbi Yehuda, Ksiv.
One of these Kohanim in each one of the Ari Miklat?
No, not at all. There is only one Kohen Gadol. So
that's all you needed for one Kohen Gadol.
Right. So the Gemara now in Beit is going to ask.
There has to be a Kohen in the Ari Miklat now.
No, the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara will ask later on, do you need all three to die, or only one of them to die, if there are all three, let's say. But either way, these are three different sources for these three types of Kohanim Gadolim. Gemara now says, Rabbi Yehuda, Ksiv, Kra, Achrina. How does Rabbi Yehuda know? He included a fourth Kohen Gadol. It wasn't even a Kohen Gadol. He included a Meshuach Melchama. So what's his source for the fourth one? So there's a Ksiv, Kra, Achrina. He has yet a fourth Pasuk. It says, Lashuv, Lasheves, Beret, Ad, Most Kohen. There's a fourth Pasuk, and that includes the Meshuach Melchama. The Idach, the Tanakama, who doesn't learn such a Joshua, he doesn't have a fourth limud. Midlo Ksiv, Hagadol, Chamen, Hanachu. Since it doesn't say Ad Mos HaKohen Gadol, it just says Ad Mos HaKohen in this fourth instance, so it's referring to one of the previously mentioned Kohanim Gadolim, and not a fourth individual. Mar now quotes from the Mishnah, Lefikach a Mosein Shekohanim, the mothers would provide food and clothing for the Rotschim, so that they shouldn't daven for their sons to die. So Taima Delo Matli, only because they didn't die, daven. Ha Matli Maisi, is it true though, let's say they did daven, did the Rotschim really have the power to daven and cause the death of a Kohen Gadol? Would it really work? But doesn't the Pasuk say? Pasuk says it appears in Mishlei, Katsipur lanud, like a bird that flies, Kidara laof, Kain, Klalas chinam lo, so it's lo savo. So just like a bird flies away, so to a curse, Klalas chinam lo savo, it won't come. Meaning a person, I'm not sure the exact comparison, but the klal, the curse, the davening, does not have the koach to go against what a Kohen Gadol wants. They can't kill a Kohen Gadol. So Gemara says, Hahu Saba Mipirka de Rava. There's an elderly man sitting in the back of the shir of Rava. Shmili, I heard, he said, Shahaya Lahen Levakesh Rachamim Al Doron Velo Bikshu. No, they were at fault. Meaning, they're not so innocent, the Kohen Gadol. He actually deserved to die, because he should have asked on his generation that they should be protected from these types of things happening. There shouldn't be murderers all over the place killing people with shogeg. And since he didn't ask for Rachamim, he's at fault. And once he's at fault, there's a Pesach now for the Rotschim to daven that he die, and it could take effect. Ikedemas, the others say it's a little bit different. They did this, the Mishnah says, in order that they don't daven for them to die. This way is a positive that they should daven, that they should live. They wanted to the Rotschim to daven that the Kohen Gadol lives longer. It's time of the Matzli, only because the Rotschim daven that he should live longer, but holo Matzli Maisi. But if the Rotschim wouldn't daven for the Kohen Gadol, does that mean the Kohen Gadol would die then early? My Havalei Lemeved, what was the Kohen Gadol to do? What did he do wrong? So Hacha Amrinan, so here in Bavel, they would say, Tuvya Chayt V'Zigud Mangid, so Tuvya sins and Zigud, another name, he gets hit. Or Hasim in Eretz Yisrael, they would say, Amri Shchem Nasiv Bagai Gazir, Shchem gets married and from Bagai has to get the Bris Mila. That's the story of Shchem and Dina. So Shchem violates Dina, and now the entire city needs to get a Bris Mila just because of Shchem? I mean, it's not fair. Because the Rotschim killed someone, the Kohen Gadol now is going to die early because unless they daven for him, that doesn't make any sense. That's not very fair. So Amar, Hahu Saba, so this Maisa now goes, Hahu Saba, Bepirka, Derava, Shmili, so he says, I heard, Shehaya Lehen Levakesh Rachamim Al Doram, that the Kohen Gadol should have davened on behalf of his generation, Velo Bikshu, he didn't daven, so he is at fault, actually, for this happening. Kiha, Dehahu Gavra, Deachli Arya, Berachok, Tlasa Parsi Minei, Rabbi Shu Ben Levi. There's once an individual who was eaten by a lion three parsa away from Rabbi Shu Ben Levi. And because of that, Velo Ishtai Eliyahu Badei Tlasa Yomei. For that reason, Rabbi Shua was punished that Eliyahu Anavi didn't come to visit him for 3 days. It wasn't his fault. What did he do wrong? Because something happened in the vicinity of a certain tzaddik, there's a certain responsibility upon them. That shows that they weren't davening strong enough for their community.
All kinds of calamities happening, Klal Yisrael veering from what they should do. In other words, this concept of a...
Now, this is a case of shkaga. When Klal Yisrael did things wrong on purpose, so they have a bechira, what to do. We're talking about things that someone accidentally killed someone, an axe went flying, or a lion came out of somewhere nowhere and killed someone else. That they didn't do anything wrong to deserve that. That's the responsibility of the leader of the community. That was their fault. The case of the Midbar are things that they did wrong. It was an accidental event. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar of Yehuda Marav, Klalas Chacham, Afilu Bechinam, Hiba. If a Chacham gives a curse, even for no reason, Bechinam, it still comes. Minol, how do you know this? Machitofel. Shebesha Shekara David Shisin Kappa Toma. When David HaMelech was digging on the Har Bayis, he was digging the pit that was below the Mizbeach. He dug really low down. It was called the Shisin. When the water, when you do Yai Nesach and Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos, that water and the wine would go all the way down to what's called Shisin. The Gemara on Sukkos says down below the Mizbeach. So when he was digging, right. So when he dug below deep into that Shisin, so Kapatuma, very, very deep. By la mishtafa la alma, the water that he tapped into, wanted to destroy the world. So Amar Mahul, so he wanted to stop the water from coming out. It's like a fire hydrant going crazy. So he wanted to stop it. So he says, now Amar Mahul lichtov shem achaspa. Can I write a name, a shem Hashem, on a piece of pottery, let's say? Umishade betoma, and in order to throw it into the depth there, the leka duchde, so in order to keep it in its place from not destroying the world. Leka damar lemide. No one responded. So he says, Kol Yodeya Davar Zev Einu Omro Yichanik Begrono. Anybody who knows the answer to this and doesn't respond is going to choke. So Nasachi Tofel Kavachomer Batzma. He said, I think of a Kavachomer. Amar, he says as follows, Ma Lasos Shalom Bein Ish Leishto Amar Torah Shemisha Nichta Bekdusha Yimchal Hamayim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to allow my name to be erased in order to create Shalom bias between a husband and a wife, a very personal, individual basis. So now he says, therefore, l'chol olam kula lo koshkein, to save the entire world from the water overflowing, how much more so should he be willing to let his name be erased to save the world? That was a kavachomer, very sensible. Amalei Shari, he says, it's permitted. So kasa shema chaspa, they wrote the name on the piece of pottery. Shadei atahoma, they threw it down into the depths. And nachas, the water stopped, v'kama duchte, and everything settled. So Afil Hachi, even though he responded to David HaMelech, he didn't deserve the curse. Nonetheless, because of the pasuk says, "V'achitofel ra kilo nasa itaso v'yachavoshes achamor." Achitofel Ria saw he didn't listen to his eitzah. I don't know the context here. V'yachavoshes achamor. This week's parsha very similar. And he saddled the donkey. V'yakum v'yelech el beso. He went home el iro to his city. V'yitzav el beso v'yichanik. And he went to the house and he choked. He strangled. So even though he had fulfilled, he answered David, he didn't stay quiet. Still, when a tzaddik says a curse, im b'chinam, it still is fulfilled. Amar Rabbi Abahu, klalas chacham afila tanai hiba. Now if a chacham makes a curse only on a tanai, and even though that tanai is not met, the curse still comes through. Minal, and how do I know? Me Eli, the kamerla Eli, l'shmuel, Eli says to Shmuel, ko yaseh l'chel kim, v'ko Yosef, imtichad mimeni davar. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do to you if you hold back anything from me. That's what Eli says to Shmuel. Tell me everything. V'afagav d'chsev, even though it says v'yagolol Shmuel eskol advarm lo kacha mimenu, he told him everything, didn't hold anything back. Afilu hachi, still nonetheless, k'sev v'lo halchu bonav b'drachav, his children did not follow in derech Hashem, and the curse of Eli was fulfilled even though the Tanai wasn't met. So Amar Yehuda, the top of Yud Aleph and Beis now, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Nidoy al Tanai. So too, if a person is placed in excommunication, even on the Tanai, Tzar Hafara, it requires a Hafara. Even though that Tanai wasn't met, the Nidoy still requires a Hafara. Minal, and how do I know? Yehuda, it says by Yehuda, Dechsev, Imlo Hevi Yosef Eilecha, he says to Yaakov, he wanted to bring Binyamin down to Mitzrayim to get the food. And he says, listen, if I don't bring him back, right, what's going to happen? Then I'll be sinning, Chatasi Lecha Kol Hayamim. That's what he said. Now, even though he didn't end up bringing it down, let's look at Rashi here. Where do we see? So that's the Nidoy. So he said, I'll be Nidoy. Rashi says the top line here, V'chatasi Lecha, Lashon Nidoyhu, Shehe Menuda Laviv. If I don't bring Binyamin back, so then I'm going to be Nidoy. I'm going to be considered excommunicated from you and from the entire world. Now, we know Yehuda didn't end up bringing him down anyways. But still, we'll see in just a moment that there was still a Nidoy that took effect on Rabbi Yehuda, even though he never fulfilled the Tanai. He didn't deserve the Nidoy. But once you say it, so the Nidoy takes effect. Let's see, how do we know this? So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, my dich, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Yechi Ruvein val Yamas, that Ruvein should live and you shouldn't die? There's also Yehuda, and this is for Yehuda. What's the correlation between Ruvein and Yehuda? So Kol Osen Arbam Shana, all 40 years, Shehayu Yisrael b'Midbar, they were in the Midbar. Atzmosav Sheyehuda Hayu Megulgalim b'Aron, they were shaking, they're moving around in the Aron. Ad Shaman Moshe, until Moshe stood v'Bikei Shalav Rachman, he davened, and Amar he says Lefanav Ribono Shalom, Mi Garam LeRuvain Sheyode. Who was the one who caused Ruvain to admit to Ruvain's sins? It was Yehuda. Yehuda was the one who showed him how to be moded to an Avera. So Ruvain responded back the same way. V'Zos LeYehuda, because of Yehuda. So Shama Hashem Kol Yehuda. So Hashem heard the voice of the Yehuda. Right, that's what the pasuk says. It says Zos Yehuda Vayomer Shama Hashem Kol Yehuda. Hashem finally, okay, you're right. He heard Hashem. So what happened? Al Ibra L'Shafa. So the limb stopped moving around. But still, Lohava Kamayle L'Misifta Derakia. So the bone stopped moving around. But he wasn't allowed access to the yeshiva, the base medrash in Shemayim. So then it says, "Vilamo tivianu." So let him come in at least. Now let him. Moshe asked that he should come into the base medrash at least. So he was allowed access. Lohava kayada lemishka lemitchach. He wasn't able to hold cup with them. He couldn't go back and forth with them to learn. So bishmaisa with the learning. B'hadir rabbanan with the other rabbanan who were up there in Shemayim. So then the pasuk says Moshe asks yada ravlo, give him strong hands. So fine, he was able to now go back and forth and discuss, but lo hava yada lepruke kushi. He couldn't answer any questions though. He could ask and go back and forth, but he couldn't answer questions. Ve'ezi mitarav tia, at least give him help to answer questions. There's a similar Gemara that appears in Sota as well. I think the Gemara there says, and it doesn't add it here, that he couldn't learn alib with the hilchasa. He couldn't come to a maskana. So the Gemara says, no, then finally Ezer mitarav tia tells him that he was able to learn alib with the hilchasa. He was able to give a psak as well. I think that's what the Gemara says. I don't see anybody commenting here on the side. Okay. Either way, we see from this whole Maisa that Yehuda was placed in Nidoy. The reason why he went through such sorrows of the bones and base medrash and not being able to learn with them, and this is all because of that Nidoy that he said to Yaakov, if I don't bring Binyamin back up from Mitzrayim, I'll be in Nidoy for you forever. So he was never given the chance to even take Binyamin down. So he didn't violate anything. He didn't deserve the Nidoy. So we see from here, a Nidoy al Tanai still requires a Hafara. And that's this whole dialogue that we just saw. Asks the Gemara now, Ibari Lahu, B'misas Kulan, who chose, is what you were asking before, is it Misas Kulan, all the Kohanim Gadolim who are alive need to die for this Rotzeach to go back? O Dilma B'misas Echamim, or if just one of them dies, that's enough. Now typically, there's really only one Kohen Gadol. It's either Shemit HaMishcha or the Meruvim Begadim, but there's possible that you could have two, where there's a guy who lost his post, if he became possible. So then you have a new Kohen Gadol in place, so now you have two Kohen Gadolim. I don't think it's ever possible to have all three. I'm not sure if it's pointed out anywhere, but let's just see. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Nigmar Dino, below Kohen Gadol, Eini Yotze Misham Liolam. If let's say the guy was given the Gemar Din, and he was sent to the Ari Miklat as a Rotzeach B'Shogeg, and at the time of the Gemar Din, there is no Kohen Gadol who is in position. So now this guy has the worst case that he never goes free. Whoever the Kohen Gadol was, Bishas Gemar Din, he's the one who needs to die for him to go back home from Ari Mikla. But if there is no Kohen Gadol, he never goes free. So v'imis, if it's true, lehadar b'dahanach, so let him go back with the other ones. So right, so what's the case? Let's look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Lahida Bahanach b'misas muba begadim o b'shaver mishichuso alav shmamina kulu. So it must be, you need all of them to, they all need to be, have a position at that time. The Gemara says, no, it's talking about a situation in B'deleka where there's no one, there's no Kohen Gadol anywhere, there's no Meshucha muba begadim, there's no Shemina Mishcha, there's no, none of them, and that's a situation where we're talking about where there's no Kohen Gadol at all. But Eina Hanami, Gemara says, all you really need is one of the Kohanim Gadolim to die for him to go back.
Why can't you have three? If there's a war, then the Kohen Gadol is the Kohen
Gadol. No, that's Yehuda holds the war. We don't hold to the war case. If there's a Kohen Gadol who's a Meshuach of Shemin HaMishcha and Merubah Begadim, it wouldn't make sense because either there's only one of two ways. By Shvishon, they use Shemin HaMishcha, and by Sheni, they use Merubah Begadim. According to Yehuda, you could have three, according to him, right. Okay, the Mishnah says now, Mishenigmar Dino, Meis Kohen Gadol. Let's say after Reuven is given his Gemar Din, he has to go to Ari Mikla. And then right after the Gemar Din, before he even gets to the Ir Mikla, Meis Kohen Gadol, Hareza Einagola, he actually never has to go. Because the Gemar Din, that's when the clock starts. So the Kohen Gadol dies, and he didn't pay any, didn't have to pay any service there, and he doesn't get any Gullus, he's good to go home. Imachlo Nigmar Dino, Meis Kohen Gadol, if let's say the Kohen Gadol dies before he gets his Gemar Din, Umanu Acher Tachdav, and they appoint a new Kohen Gadol in his place. Ula Acher Mikan Nigmar Dino, and then Reuven gets his Gemar Din. Chozer B'Mitzaso Shel Shenim. Too bad for him. Had the Gemar Din been finished a few minutes earlier, he may have been lucky and could have really not had to pay any time in Ari Mikla. But now he has to stay longer for the new younger Kohen Gadol who was just appointed till he finally dies. Nigmar Dino below Kohen Gadol. Let's say the Gemar Din is given to Reuven, and there is no Kohen Gadol who's active at that time. or Hahoreg Kohen Gadol, a person who kills a Kohen Gadol, which in essence means that there is no Kohen Gadol at the time of his Gemar Din, or Kohen Gadol Shaharag, where the Kohen Gadol himself murdered, Eino Yotzei Misham Liolam. Those are three instances where the Roteach will never go free. Eino Yotzei Lo Leedus Mitzvah. Now, when the Roteach is in Ari Miklat, the Mishnah is listing certain halachas that will apply to him. Eino Yotzei Lo Leedus Mitzvah. He cannot leave Ari Miklat to go do for Eidus of a Mitzvah. What's an example of an Eidus of a Mitzvah? Kish Levana, okay. Where, is that what they say here? Okay. Let's see. Rashi doesn't say anything. Is that a guess for Kish Levana, or you knew that?
For me, it's a guess.
Okay, good.
Maybe
Eidus Kedushin. Eidus Kedushin, let's see. I'm trying to look here. Eidus Mitzvah. Yeah, Kish Levana, very good. That's the example that they give here. Eidus Mitzvah, they're not allowed to leave. Lola Eidus Mamon, which would be any monetary case. Lola Eidus Nefashos, they can't go for any capital punishment either. Vafilu Yisrael Tzrichim Lo. Even if Yisrael needs him, what does that mean that Yisrael Tzrichim Lo?
He's the president or something.
He's a president that needed something like that, some service he does. Okay, it probably could be anything that he's very necessary for, whatever it may be, his important job. Vafilu Sar Tzava Yisrael Kiyoav Ben Tzri. He's the general of the army, which is very much needed. Eino Yotze Misham Liolam, he's not allowed to leave. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Asher Nos Shama, what does Shama mean? Sham Tehei Dira, so there should be his Dira. Sham Tehei Misa, so that's where she should die. And Sham Tehei Kvura, so that's where he's going to be buried. Okay, that's where he stays unless he's able to live beyond the death of the Kohen Gadol, then he could go back home. Other than that, he stays there forever. Kishem Sha'ir Kolet, that's just like the city itself, protects him. Kach Tchuma Kolet. The borders around the tchum as well would also protect him. He has some areas he's allowed to go outside within that tchum. Roteach shiyata chutz l'tchum. Let's say he leaves the tchum where he's not supposed to. So now matzu goldam. Now the goldam find him. He's waiting there to ambush. Now he walks out, steps outside that boundary. So now what's the deal? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, mitzvah b'yad goldam. Now it's a mitzvah. He listened. The roteach is not listening to his punishment. He's violating the rules. So now he's got a punishment. So the goldam has a mitzvah to kill him. Urushus b'yad kol ha'adam, and anybody else doesn't have a mitzvah, but they're allowed to kill him if they want. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rishus Biyana Gol Adam, no, different. The Gol Adam has a heta to kill him if he wants, but there's no mitzvah involved. Chol Adam, Chayv Nolav. Anybody else who would kill him, they actually get a Chiv Misa, meaning no one else is allowed to kill him, only the Gol Adam. There's a very, very important machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara now says, my time, what's the reason here? For which case, what are we asking for? Let's see. My time, Amr Abaye Kavachomer. Ma Misha Gola Kvar Yatza. So a guy who is already exiled and now he leaves with the Misa of the Kohen Gadol. So a person who never went to Galus, that he shouldn't get exiled either if the Kohen Gadol dies before he even gets there. So that's the Kavachomer that Abai explains, that that's why he never has to go to Galus. Because even though he never made it there, the Kohen Gadol saves him. Meaning again, it's trying to say it's harder to extract someone out of Galus than it is to someone who never went there. So if a guy who was sent to Gullus, and the Mises Kohen Gadol is able to save him, so a guy who never even went there, it's much easier for him to just stay out of Gullus and remain home. To which the Gemara says, wait a second, Dilma hai de Gala ichbar le. Maybe the guy who spent some time in Gullus, he got kapara. So that's why he's allowed to leave. But hai de lo Gala, the guy who never went to Gullus, lo mide Gullus kabach, hai de lo Gala, lo, he doesn't get kapara. So therefore, he should have to go to Galus now to get some kabar. Gemara says, "Mi de Galus ka mechaperes, Mises Kohen who de mechapra." Who said being in Galus is what gives him kabar? Galus is giving him a safe haven. What gives him the kabar is when the mis of a tzaddik dies. That's a kabar for the people, a kabar for this person. That's what it's about. So he experienced a mis of the Kohen Gadol, and that's his kabar. Gemara now quotes in the Mishnah, "Im ad shelo nigmar dina v'chulo." So v'chulei mahani mili. How do you know this to be the case? Amar Rav Kana, the Makar, the pasuk says, "V'yoshev ba." He sits there ad Mosa Kohen Gadol asher moshach also b'shemen hakodesh. He stays there until the Kohen Gadol, who was anointed with oil, dies. V'chi hu moshcho, because he is the way the pasuk sounds is that the rotzeach is the one who anointed him. He didn't anoint him. That's true. Elazeh shenimshcho b'yamav. So the one who was anointed during his time. So when that Kohen Gadol dies, that's when the Roteach goes free. My Havalei the Mevid. So what? Why is the Kohen Gadol? Why is it his kapara that when he dies he goes free? So let's look at Rashi 1 second here. Says Rashi, "My havelei lehai kohen lemevad me'achesha dain lohaya kohen gadol kishaharigzeh lamahu nenash." Wait, why is the kohen gadol being punished here?
Because we saw before that you know the kohen gadol has some responsibility for the rotschim, but this guy, the kohen was appointed after he did the killing, before the gvar din.
So why should he be the one who's it's totally on his death? In which case, the Rotschim might even daven that he dies. What did he do wrong to deserve this punishment? The Gemara says as follows: because now he was appointed. Now he, even though he's appointed after the Maaser Ritzicha, the death happened before he was Kohen Gadol. So that death wasn't his fault as Kohen Gadol. But now that he's the Kohen Gadol, before Gemar Din, he should have davened that this person's Rotzech should have been saved. It should have been an innocent verdict. And the fact that he didn't daven that way, or the davening wasn't strong enough, and ended up being in a guilty verdict, that puts a certain responsibility on the Kohen Gadol. Gemara.
Now, this person specifically is the one, or just, I mean, how would he know that this case, you know this case is going on, or you just say, all people, he davened that all people should...
I'm not sure how much they knew. I don't know how often these cases took place. I don't know.
That's the law journal.
Life is dependent on
all this. That's the law journal.
Not too late.
No, but his life was dependent on their tefillah, so he probably had a list.
No. Okay.
Why do we want somebody who was potentially guilty to be shown to be innocent?
This is the general direction we go out throughout Shas. Tefillah sa'eda, we try to save them. Try to save them, that's our goal. Misha told us earlier that one every 70 years was considered normal to kill someone.
We're talking about Shogig, yeah.
Even B'mezid, it's not easy to kill someone B'mezid, but in this case is Shogig, which is even easier. To less responsibility on the Ritzach. Even B'mezid, we try our best to save people from getting any punishments like that.
The shot is that they would have prayed that he was found innocent. It's not that he was guilty and he was found innocent. He was innocent.
Well, then the question is, if he's innocent, then why is he dying? Let's say he really was guilty, though.
Right. You can't change it from guilty.
So then why is the Kohen Gadol responsible? So why is the Kohen Gadol responsible then? We want the outcome to be innocent, even though he may have been guilty. We'd rather Kadosh Baruch Hu take matters into his own hands, and we have to give out the punishments. Fine. Gemara says, "Vaitina Amar Abai." Abai says, "Naktina Nigmar Dino Umes." Let's say there's a Gemara Din, and he dies then. So the Reuven, who's the Ratzach, died before he ever experienced Galus now. So he never got the Kapar that he really needed. Umolichen es Hatzmosav L'sham. You carry his bones to the Ari Mikla. Dichsiv, as it says, Lashuv Lasheves Ba'aretz Admos Kohen Gadol, Vezi Yeshiva Shibaretz. What does it mean, Lasheves Ba'aretz? In the land. What it means is, Shibaretz Havi Amazek Kvura. So if the guy dies, you bury him, even though he never spent any time living in the Ari Mikla, that's where he's going to be buried. Tan the Brisa says, Mes Kodem Shemes Kohen Gadol. Let's say he dies. Let's say he does spend time in Ari Mikla, and he dies before the Kohen Gadol dies. Molichin Atzmosav al Kivrei Avosav. Then his bones are able to be brought back to wherever his family cemetery is. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, Yoshev Harotzech el Eretz Achuzaso, that he goes back to his land of Achuza, his inheritance, Ezu Yeshiva, Shiba Eretz Achuzaso, Eretz Achuzaso, what is that? Havi Omer Zukur, this is burial, referring to being buried with the rest of his family. Should we go a little further? Let's see, where's the next piece go to? Two dots? Let's go for it. Okay. Mara says, Nigmar Dino Venase Kohen Ben Grusho Ben Chalutz. Interesting case now. So the Rotzeach gets accused and convicted of going to, and he has to go to the Ari Mikla now for Ritzich of a Shogig. And then the Kohen Gadol turns out he was really a Pasal Kohen Gadol. Turns out his mother was a Grusho or a Chalutza, so he's Pasal to be Kohen Gadol now. So now, there's a machlokas, pligibar Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Charamar, Mesa, Kuna. It's as if the Kohen dies, as if the Kohen Gadol dies, so he gets to go free. And Charamar, Batla Kuna, no, it's just Batel, but it's not Mesa. And therefore, look at Rashi here, Rashi, the last two Rashis in the page here, Mesa, Kuna, Harehu, Kimes, we view the Kohen Gadol as dying, Vein Rotzech, Gola, and the Rotzech no longer has to be Gola. Batla Kuna, Iglai Milsalam Afreya Shalohaya Kohen Gadol. Turned out he was ever Kohen Gadol in the first place. Now it's the opposite, the worst case. The first pshat is he doesn't get galus. Second pshat is he has to be in galus forever because there is no kohen gadol that was active during his gemar din. So gemara suggests lema pluksa the Rabbi Elazar of Yeshua kamifuki. They're arguing about a machlokes that appears in the Mishnah, Meseches Trumos. Mishnah says the tnan haya omerid omerid umakiv agavi mizbech. There's a kohen who's busy being makiv karbanos. Then it becomes known that he's actually a son of a grusha or a son of a chalutza, which means he's a chalal, impossible. So what happens? Rabbi Eliezer Omer kol karbanos shehikriv psulim. All karbanos that he brought in the past are actually possible. So if you know you brought a karban chatas and he was your kohen, it's possible you need to go bring another karban chatas. Rabbi Yeshua machshir. Rabbi Yeshua thinks it's permitted. Mikan, everything Mikan Labah is possible, but everything that was before us, since we didn't know, is considered kosher. There's no need to bring a new carbon. So Man Damar Mesa could be sure. The one who thinks that he died right now, the Kohen Gadol dies, but we've acknowledged he was a Kohen Gadol at the time of the Gemar Din. It's only Mikan Ulhaba is he no longer a Kohen Gadol. Just like Rabbi Yeshua says, all the previous carbonos were kosher. It's just Mikan Ulhaba is he possible. And the one man there, Batla, that the Kohen Gadol is Batla, as if he never was a Kohen Gadol, that's like Rabbi Eliezer, who disqualifies all the Karbanos that this Kohen ever brought. So Gemara says, so that's the suggestion, that we're lining up Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer with the Machlokis, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak, about the Gemar Din, the Nasa Kohen Gadol, becomes a Ben Gushim and Chalutza, for the case of Galus. So then the Gemara responds on the top of Yud Beis Amin Aleph, Aliva the Rabbi Eliezer, in the world of Rabbi Eliezer, now Rabbi Eliezer, again, he said that all karbanos l'mafreya are all pasul. So in the world of Rabbi Eliezer, kuliyama lo pligi. No one argues. Everyone agrees that what? Look at Rashi in the top here, top of Yud Beis. Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, kuliyama lo pligi, klomer man damar mesa, vade krav yushuama. Lo krav Eliezer. The one who holds that we view the Kohen Gadol as dying now, in which case Rotech goes free, that's within the world of Rabbi Yeshua, not with Rabbi Eliezer. The Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, which is what we want now, Lek Laman Damar Mesa. Kevin de Lagave Avodas of Amar Psulos, Lamafreya, Vade Ainte Kohen. Once Rabbi Eliezer establishes that all the karbanos that this Chalel permitted, performed in his lifetime, are all pasul, so if the Avoda, which is a very serious thing, if all Avoda is disqualified, then certainly we don't acknowledge him as being a Kohen Gadol, then you have to assume it's Batel. That this Kohen Gadol, for the purposes of a Rotzeach, is also as if he was never a Kohen Gadol, and this Rotzeach remained in Gullus forever. Ki pligi, when is there machlokes? Aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. In the world of Rabbi Yeshua, thinks all the karbanos that he brought were actually kosher. It's only now Mikanu Laba is he possible from bringing karbanos. Then there's a debate, how do we view him with respect to the Rotzeach? Again, with respect to previous karbanos, they were all kosher, but how do we view him as, was he an active Kohen Gadol for the Gemar Din? And therefore, when he loses his activity, he as if he's Mesa, or no, only with respect to Karbanos do we acknowledge him being a Kohen Gadol, but not with respect to Galus. So let's see. Man damar bit batla, the one who thinks he's batel, as if he never was. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yeshua hasam, only by there, by Karbanos, tichsiv, ber Hashem chelo, upal yadav tirtze, if a Kohen does work, we could tirtze, it could be ritual, it could be acknowledged, afil chalom shebo, even a chalal, who were to do a karban, b'diavad were able to acknowledge it. So that's why Rabbi Yeshua might allow it, l'mafrei, they're all good. Aval hacha, when it comes to here, by the case of Galus, l'maisa, he wasn't a Kohen Gadol, hacha, feel Rabbi Yeshua would be modem, that there was no Kohen Gadol, and therefore this Rotech remains in Galus forever. Okay?
Things that you couldn't see without a microscope. Mm-hmm.